Ziggy. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, and tonight's topic, UFOs, outer space, extraterrestrial visitation to our planet, the power of the pyramids, and what in the heck is really happening over there in the desert. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we'll be right back. Here's a little more Bowie for you. Starman.
Didn't know what time it was, the lights were low, oh, oh. I leaned back on my radio, oh, oh. Some cat was laying down some rock and roll at a solo set. Then the loud sound, it seemed to bite. Came back like a slow voice on a wave of fight. That one, no DJ, that was hazy. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he blew our minds. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He's told us not to blow it, 'cause he knows it's all worthwhile. He told us, let the children do it. Let the children do it. Let all the children do it.
It's Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Everything's zipping around me like a bunch of UFOs in the Arizona sky. My name is Chris.
And I'm Rob.
Together we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. And just out of the Air Force just released this 231-page report called Case Closed. The Air Force says rumored alien bodies recovered from the New Mexico desert back in 1947.
Thank you.
were really actually life-size parachute crash dummies.
Now, wasn't Case Closed the name of the book by Gerald Posner about the Kennedy assassination, the final nail in that whole conspiratorial coffin?
That is true. Gerald Posner came out with Case Closed, thereby closing the JFK murder assassination case, saying that the government did not do it, but Lee Harvey Oswald did it with a single gun and a single bullet. And now the director of the International UFO Museum and Research Center in Roswell, New Mexico, says that the report raises more questions than it does answers, referring, of course, to the Roswell Case Closed report.
Now, who's read this report? Has anyone actually seen it and or read it?
Well, it's out today, so it's probably just hitting a bookstore near you. With us tonight is Terry Endress from TASC.
I need to interrupt for just a second. You have a green bug in your hair.
Where is it?
It's just green.
Are you sure it's not a UFO?
No, it's green. It's one of those little,
What is it?
Make sure it's not an extinct.
Did I get it?
I think you got it.
What did it look like?
I think it was an endangered species.
Yeah, let's hope not.
You're going to jail now, pal.
Terry Endress of TASC. TASC is T-A-S-K, which stands for?
Tri-State Advocates for Science of Acknowledge.
If it's Tri-State Advocates, then shouldn't it be SASC?
We just kind of ignore that.
To be a Yiddish thing.
Yeah.
Terry, what is TASC? What's its mission statement?
Well, we like to look into these things as scientifically as possible. We try to hit that happy medium between the gullible true believer and the ignorant debunker, and we just try to go from there. We make no friends along the way, by the way.
More about Roswell, New Mexico in a moment, but in Arizona, the neighbor state to New Mexico, on March 13th, 1997, a strange V-shaped UFO with lots of pretty lights was sighted by thousands of people. Am I correct? Thousands?
That's what I hear.
Thousands of people saw this damn thing.
Hundreds.
USA Today says hundreds. I'm saying thousands of people saw this thing over the skies of Arizona from where? Tucson all the way to Phoenix, right? There's a map here somewhere. No, from Paulden, which is pretty far north in that fine desert.
What about
state.
Winona? Did they see it in Winona? Don't forget Winona.
Winona Judd?
Don't forget Winona.
If I saw Winona Judd, I would never forget it. With us is Michael Tanner. Hello, Michael Tanner.
Hello there. How are you guys?
And you are with Village Labs?
Correct.
What does Village Labs do, and what is Village Labs' relationship with the V-shaped UFO seen over the Arizona skies?
Village Labs is a digital media design engineering company. We've created a supercomputer for processing special effects and animation for Hollywood clients. We've been in the business of studying UFO purported evidence as a after-hours activity, photos, videos, whatever. And we found ourselves squarely in the so-called Phoenix Lights event because we reside here and it happened right in our front yard. We're creating a computer recreation, a simulation of all of the events of that night that happened. Led by the V-shaped formation, the V formation of lights that came in the state from Nevada about 8 o'clock, came down through the Phoenix Valley, last seen in Tucson to the south, turned around, came back, and left where it came about 10:30.
Now, Michael, did you yourself actually see this alleged UFO?
Didn't see this particular one. It happened to fly right over a building as we have been reconstructing the multiple objects that were seen by thousands of people collectively and hundreds of witnesses we've compiled, met with many of them firsthand, and it's an incredible story that's unfolding here.
Now, I got to start off as a skeptic here. If you work for a company that makes videos for movies, lots of high-tech special effects, maybe like Independence Day kind of stuff, could you not have faked a UFO video?
The videos possibly could be done if you're just trying to create video effects. However, in studying the videos of the formation of lights seen at the south end of the valley about 10 o'clock, which we refer to as Event 3, there were several events, and I'll run through them in a moment. But it would have taken Disney, DreamWorks, and Warner Brothers and a few others to pull this one off. It was a massive flyover of large objects and small, including attempts by Air Force jets to intercept a pair of the objects, and they promptly shot up and disappeared upon the interception attempt. So this was an incredible event that in our experience of almost 20 years involvement in UFO research, this stands out as one of the greatest events of all time.
So did you shoot the video, or have you just seen the video?
We have all the videos of the witnesses. We've become the de facto clearinghouse for the investigation, and so we have analyzed the videos. That's our profession.
Well, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show with Michael Tanner of Village Labs. What do those videos show?
We have isolated every type of light in the videos for comparison purposes, and the subject lights and the lights in question have a distinct character all unto themselves. They're perfectly uniform lights. There's no variation from one edge to the other, and there's no glow off of them. And we've ruled out certainly any kind of laser equipment. Flares were ruled out very quickly, and other possibilities, possibly holograms, but again, we're starting to venture into tremendously expensive equipment to even attempt to duplicate these lights.
Yeah, Mike.
I'm
Terry Endress. I'm with the Tri-State Advocates for Scientific Knowledge, and I do have a question. Have you, with your analysis, been able to resolve any kind of structure behind these lights?
The videos don't disclose structure. The videographers were miles away in most cases. The closest people were probably a couple of miles away, and still there's no definition of structure in the formation. However, because of the prior events, so to say, this deformation that was cited as kind of our backbone timeline provided us through the National Center in Seattle that collected all the phone calls that came in, gives us a general timeline and a general flight path, if you will. When we see the formation first sighted coming into Arizona, we follow it about 1,000 miles an hour into the Phoenix Valley. It slows way down to a crawl, 25, 30 miles an hour, and as low as 300 feet above the witnesses were closest to it. And there's very definite definition of a solid single object. That object, as it passed through airspace, went right through the flight path of Sky Harbor Airport, and planes flying above it, below it, it went right through it. There's nothing on radar. A half an hour later, an enormous triangular ship was seen coming further east down the valley. Later, the first V hovered for about 15 minutes right off of the interstate, witnessed by truck drivers passing by it in convoy. The triangle came right behind it over the freeway. A family described driving under it at 80 miles an hour. It took them a minute to 2 minutes to get clear past it. We have hundreds of witnesses to construct these flight paths, and there's no question that enormous objects came through without any trace of radar signals, later to return about 10 o'clock for what clearly were photo opportunities for these videos to be taken.
Do you, what's the top speed that's been calculated for these? Do you know?
Well, the top speed was coming into the state of the original V, and it was about Mach 1.5 to 2 until it started slowing down once it got into the Valley of Phoenix.
Well, that clarifies some things, because various information coming through several channels, I've heard estimates up to, and this is what makes it almost remarkable, unbelievable, folks talking about thousands of miles a second, and of course we know that we probably wouldn't be able to perceive anything moving that fast unless it's really far away. So that does help clarify a few points for us here, because, you know, Mach 1.5 or so, that's a very reasonable speed.
Well, Terry, I gotta just ask the question now. What do you think is the thing? Michael, what do you think it was?
Well, Jim's opinion will be more conservative because he focuses on the science of the videos and what that might contain. I'm a little more liberal in my view, and I look for the overall pattern of things. This is like an encyclopedia in 2 hours of what went on in the Hudson Valley in the mid-80s over a period of 5 years. All kinds of vehicles were seen here besides the big boomerangs or Vs, the triangle, a very large circular object, and small globes and spheres and orb-like objects were seen to deploy off of these large formations at various points. So,
well, actually, these V-shaped formations go as far back as the early 50s. Am I correct?
They do, but I'm referring to a mm-hmm. highly documented,
right.
concentrated series of sightings in New York that's well known.
Well, are you familiar with the Hart photographs, the series of four photographs taken over Lubbock, Texas, back in 1951?
The Lubbock Lights.
Right.
We have a witness here.
What do those look like?
It's a V-shaped formation. Yeah.
Two rows of lights. In fact, the rows were actually two vehicles sandwiched together that split off, which is not generally known, but we have a man
right.
on staff that was 7 years old at the time and saw them himself. And he sees similarities, but it's only because of the general V formation.
So you guys are saying that this same UFO situation that happened on March 13th over the desert of Arizona, the same thing has been seen at other places at other times?
Oh, absolutely. And even locally, before and since, we've been getting calls from all over the country from this USA Today article in California, Ohio, New Jersey, Des Moines, Iowa, Austin.
I bet you've been on scads of talk shows the last couple of weeks.
Certainly have.
Have you been able to absolutely rule out any kind of black project by the military?
Well, that's always been a topic of discussion, but it would have been incredibly stupid and dangerous to have pulled off to...
Well, that sounds like the military anyway.
Well, but because these vehicles, the first one in particular, went right through air traffic, mm-hmm. they would have had to have all the commercial pilots or otherwise in on it to avoid any midairs.
So
I mean, it just flies in the face of logic when you see all of the reports
together. We're actually traveling outside restricted air corridors and stuff.
Pardon?
These things were actually appearing outside restricted air corridors. They were actually in commercial lanes.
Well, right through town.
Yeah.
Actually, the path through the state of Arizona went generally down through well-traveled areas and avoided the restricted military
mm-hmm.
areas. It's kind of interesting. We noticed from the pilot's map of the state. But when they were in metropolitan Phoenix, they were right over the end of the runway on their way from Scottsdale over to our area. In fact, we tracked the flight path that went right over our building. Earlier, it passed over Steven Spielberg's old house. So.
Well, you know, I called the air traffic control tower at Sky Harbor International Airport in Phoenix, Arizona, both a couple days ago and this afternoon, and both times was referred to Mr. Fraser Jones, public affairs officer at the FAA in Washington, D.C. I didn't call him because I figured that a talking head like him really didn't need to be heard on our program tonight, but if all the calls are being referred to Washington, do you think the air traffic controllers know more than they're saying, or...
Well, they're free to speak. We have two of them here. That one saw the lights that night. He saw them hovering on event three, we call it, when the videos were taken about 10 o'clock. He saw them from the tower, didn't know what they were. They weren't on radar. And he's been on television a number of times and has no problem. As long as he's not speaking for the FAA, there are no restrictions. The other controller saw a precedent event in January, same thing, saw a formation of lights from the tower that was brought to his attention by a lady who was taping them, who later was the first witness to come forward with the March 13th tape.
Now, has there been any correlation between visual and radar contact at all?
Well, since there's no radar signature, there's no correlation.
I mean, there's never been a chance that, you know, for whatever reason, one of these were on radar. I mean, that hasn't happened yet, right?
Well, the controllers, we had them here for a special briefing with Councilwoman Barwood, the lady here that
right.
called for an investigation just out of a public safety issue alone. And,
well, do we think that something's going to come down and start snatching us up?
Well, they were really surprised to hear about the low-flying V coming right through airspace, not registering on radar, because they would have been alerted to it immediately.
Yeah, well, the reason I ask that is because, I mean, that's invaluable evidence when you have an electronic detection system like radar verifying visual sightings. I mean, you know, people
sure.
can be mistaken visually, but when you have a signature on a radar scope, there's something solid and bouncing
yeah,
back.
Yeah, but there are a number of instances of UFOs being sighted on radar, right, and visual, then they'll wink off on radar, still be visual, and
exactly,
vice versa. They have a capability of cloaking visually and by radar.
Yeah, the Washington, D.C. case back in 1952, there were several instances where,
yeah,
they were on and off the screens, but still visual.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Tanner of Village Labs in Tempe, Arizona. We got a couple of people standing by who have seen this UFO, some eyewitness reports. We're going to go to them here in a moment. Do you have anything else to tell us before we go and talk to some of these other folks?
Well, just stay tuned to this one because the story is still unfolding. It's major news around the world, and rightly so. This is a historic event.
Okay, thanks, Michael.
You bet. You're welcome.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Terry tells me that Michael Tanner and his buddy Jim Dilatoso, who work for Village Labs, are frequent contributors to that television program called Sightings.
That makes them experts.
Terry Enders is here from Tri-State Advocates for Scientific Knowledge. I'm Chris.
What's Sightings? I'm Rob. I've never heard of Sightings.
It's
what
one
is
of those
that?
Late-night TV shows.
Is it all about UFOs and stuff?
Loch Ness Monster.
Why are the UFOs showing up now, right, when, you know, Men in Black's coming out? We had Independence Day. It's the 50th anniversary of Roswell.
Well, you said it, the 50th anniversary. They want to enjoy this, too, don't they?
They're coming back for the party. They're coming back for the bash.
The babes, too.
I don't know. It
you
all
say
seems
that
a little
so
too
flippantly.
Neat. And it's Arizona, New Mexico, Arizona. This is the same place. You know, 50 years ago it was New Mexico. Now it's Arizona.
It's all a big desert as far as I'm concerned.
It's all the same. What's going on?
But it's all good weather. Come on.
It's too neat and too wrapped
up. It's a great
up.
Place to retire.
Okay, hang on just a second.
Okay, we have one of the eyewitnesses standing by. Is that Bill Hamilton? Bill
yeah.
Hamilton, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Yeah.
Are you related to George Hamilton in any way?
No.
Okay. Nevertheless, we wish you well.
Bill Hamilton, we have Terry Endress, Tri-State Advocates for Scientific Knowledge, standing by. He works with them. In fact, he is them.
Well, are I you work
the,
with them.
Are you the president, the CEO, or just prime investigator?
I'm a consultant.
And this guy over here, he's a consultant. Terry knows all about UFOs more than Rob and I do put together. He knows all these historical sightings. He knows about the lights of Lubbock, Texas, that look just like what you're about to tell us that you saw on the night of March 13th, 1997.
Yeah.
So tell us about it.
Well, I saw one of the events, which was a formation of light at low elevation over the Estrella Mountains, or just in front of the Estrella Mountains over the Gila River. These lights came on in a certain sequence, and they went off in reverse sequence, and they were very strange lights. They were like a golden color, very brilliant, and yet as brilliant as they were, they illuminated nothing. And they were on for maybe four and a half minutes, and we videotaped them for that period of time. And then they went out in reverse sequence. I looked at them through a Celestron spotting telescope. And
cool.
I couldn't see, you know, these were definitely not any kind of flare or aircraft light.
How good a telescope is that?
Very good telescope.
And it's one of the best.
What'd they look like through that telescope?
They look like orbs. Round orbs that were pulsing at a very high frequency.
So are these orbs connected to one another, or are they moving in formation, but
you know,
they're independent
tell,
of one another?
I couldn't tell whether they were attached to a structure or not, because it was fairly dark, even though we had about a half moon, but there was no suspending parachute. There was no smoke or spark. There were no aircraft in that vicinity whatsoever.
Well, see, Bill, you saw this thing, and we didn't, and all I have to go for, I don't know if Terry's seen something I haven't, but all I have to go for is the picture that was in USA Today, where they very conveniently cut a V shape out of the picture, so you got a big black V, and I'm thinking, did these guys see
That's
a big...
That's just a simulation.
Yeah, yeah, I'm thinking, did they really see
a
big black
object.
V?
So, that was a different object.
So you just saw balls of light.
Yeah. See, there were several objects seen on that night, and I mean objects, not just light.
So when earlier when you said that although they were brilliant yellow or
yeah.
And they didn't illuminate anything. Were you referring to then any kind of structure to which they'd be connected, or are you talking about the surrounding landscape?
Surrounding landscape.
That's remarkable.
Oh yeah, but you know, we've been seeing those kind of orbs over in California in the past few years, and they're being seen in different locations.
Now, can you clarify a point for me? Because I've heard different estimates of various speeds of these craft, from down to, say, 25 miles an hour up to thousands of miles. Can you clarify that detail for
well,
us?
Well, of course, we don't know exactly how fast any of these craft were going. We do know that when they were passing over urban areas, they were going well below the stall speed of any aircraft that I know of.
Other than helicopters.
Right. And people reported to me, especially the big black triangle that they saw, they could see the structure on this craft, probably because it was flying low enough that it was reflecting some of the ground light.
Mm-hmm. Are you getting a good cross-section of witnesses? I mean, we're not just talking about a lot
right
of folks.
Right now, we're talking to pilots and air traffic controllers.
Mm-hmm. We're not just talking about a lot of people that are out there looking around for UFOs and they just happen to see it.
There were a lot of people out there that night because of Hale Bopp.
Right.
Hale Bopp was in the northwest sky.
Exactly.
And one of these objects, which I call VLOs, very large objects, mm-hmm. came out of the northwest on a southeast trajectory.
So we're saying basically people were just in the right place at the right time. They weren't predisposed to have some kind of hallucination or misinterpretation. Is that what we're saying?
Oh, absolutely
not.
Hey,
you guys, I have a really good question. You just dated this thing by saying that March 13th was when Hale Bopp was up. We're hearing this about it in USA Today from 2 or 3 days ago. If that many people saw that amazing of a UFO on March 13th, why is it only making the press now in the end of June?
I can't answer that question. I know Dan Rather showed about a week or 2 weeks after the I would say maybe 2 weeks after the sighting, showed our video.
Yeah,
and
also
that was it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It didn't make a big splash or anything, mm-hmm. but here locally, it made a big splash.
Well, USA Today has made a big splash with it, and I suspect that the national media, is cashing in on the anniversary of Roswell and stuff
Exactly.
They're looking for readership. They don't really care that much about what's going on.
Well, a UFO expert that I've heard on the radio from time to time, guy called Richard Hoagland, says that this is not all just a coincidence, but all these things are coming to a head at the same time. Terry Andrus, why is that?
Well, I think Richard is trying to tie it into the Mars Global Observer or Global Surveyor.
No, it's going to land in about a week, or it's going to actually start transmitting back
well,
pictures.
Well, I don't
in about
know how
week,
it's
right?
tied in with that at
I don't
all.
Either.
We had some sightings over here. We have some videotape. This was seen from Henderson, Nevada to Tucson, Arizona. Mm-hmm. We are doing an event analysis. We're plotting the ground track of these objects. We're filing Freedom of Information Act requests. We're doing all that we can do to find out exactly what happened.
Well, do you see a lot of unidentified spacecraft flying around the Air Force bases?
Well, now you're calling them spacecraft.
Do you see other that doesn't look like a 747?
Unidentified aerial objects.
Well, do you see a lot of unidentified aerial objects flying around the space, the Air Force bases?
No. No, we don't. But we do, from time to time, see something that we could classify as an unidentified aerial object.
Well, if you see them from time to time, could they not be the military experimenting with some new designs, some new flight patterns?
That would be speculation. I don't know what they are. They're just unclassified.
So basically, you're reserving the conclusion. You're not drawing a conclusion that there are any specific things, say, aircraft or, for that matter, alien spaceship.
No, not unless it lands and some of the pilots get out and announce who they are.
Right.
Bill, live a little. Speculate.
Well, I would say that some of these have characteristics that knowledge of aviation and space technology, I would say this is very advanced technology.
Hey, listen, were there any cows mutilated in the area? Do you have cows out in Arizona, New Mexico?
Of course.
Okay. You have
they're
longhorns.
All well and healthy.
The hardy cows, okay.
Yeah.
So nothing's been sliced or diced yet, huh?
Nope.
Okay. I guess you don't have enough crops to start looking for crop circles.
No.
Sagebrush circles?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Circles in the sand.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Bill. Bill
okay.
Hamilton from... Are you from Phoenix or Tucson or where?
Phoenix.
From hey, Phoenix, Arizona.
Do all the kids in Phoenix go out and try to lick those toads that are like psychedelic mushrooms?
I thought that was in Australia.
No, that's in Phoenix, Arizona. Is that true?
No, I know nothing about that.
You come on, Bill. Live a little. Talk about it.
No, I know nothing
okay.
about it.
Ask your 14-year-old neighbor. He knows all about it.
Well, I don't have one.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Bill.
Okay.
Yeah, good luck.
We may check in with you again sometime. If you see something else, be prepared to tell us, all right?
All right.
Okay, thanks. Bill Hamilton from Phoenix, Arizona, who saw the UFO on March 13th. We'll be right back. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Terry Endress is here, and the phone numbers are 749-1444. If you'd like to talk to Terry, he's with Tri-State Advocates for Scientific Knowledge, and he's got an encyclopedia of what in your brain?
UFO trivia, perchance?
He knows it all, so give us a call. We got some other things coming up, too. Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We'll be right back.
Mystery man came over and he said, I'm out of sight. He said, for a nominal service charge, I could reach Nirvana tonight. If I was ready, willing, and able to pay him his regular fee, he would drop all the rest of his pressing affairs and devote his attention to me. But I said,
no.
Who you jiving with that cosmic debris?
Look here, brother. Don't you waste your time on me.
The mystery man got nervous and he fidgeted around a bit. He reached in the pocket of the mystery robe and he whipped out a shaving kit. Now I thought it was a razor and a can of foaming goo, but he told me right then when the top popped open there was nothing his box won't do with the oil of Aphrodite and the dust of the Grand Wazoo. He said, you might not believe this, little fellow, but it'll cure your asthma too. And I said,
look here,
guru are you anyway?
Look here, brother. Don't you waste your time on me.
Don't waste your time. And your preparations and ram it up your snout.
Papa, I got that crystal ball!
He said, and held it to the light. So I snatched it all away from him, and I showed him how to do it right.
I got the newspaper around my head, so I looked like I was deep. I felt some mumbo-jumbo then, I told him he was going to sleep. He couldn't even make a sound. I proceeded to tell him his future plan. As long as he was hanging around, I said,
the price of meat has just gone up and your old lady has just gone down.
Look here.
ponchos that a Sears popular.
Don't you know, you could make more money as a butcher. So don't you waste your time on me.
That would make us the Chris and Rob late night talk show. The phone number here is 749-1444. And tonight we're talking about UFOs, conspiracy theories, and all sorts of psychic phenomena with our friend Terry Endress. Hello, Terry.
Hey, how you doing?
As you already know, Terry's with Tri-State Advocates for Scientific Knowledge, abbreviated and acronymed as TASC. And with us on the phone is Scott calling from Clifton. Hello, Scott.
Hey, fellas. What's up?
What's up with you tonight, Scott?
Well, before I get started on my conspiracy theory, I got a theory for you.
Okay.
I'd just like to let you know that my orbs are always pulsating at a very high rate.
Are they always round?
And they have been spotted over Nevada, if you know what I'm saying.
You got them on video?
I think so. Someone else has them, but I don't have the copy.
They were pulsating at the Mustang Ranch. Are they day-glow?
What?
Never mind.
They get sort of a greenish color going when you really get them worked up.
That's kind of scary.
But anyway,
it's supernatural.
This isn't about UFOs. I don't mean to deviate from the topic.
That's okay.
I wanted to talk about the real conspiracy going on. I think you guys know what I'm talking about.
And what's that?
That would be the international conglomerate of high-class, low-profile gangsters and muscle men working for the bankers, the Wall Street boys, and, of course, the big boss, supranationalistic capitalism.
Okay.
That's right. I'm talking about black helicopters. I'm talking about real conspiracy. I'm talking about the New World Order.
Down to earth a little bit. A lot of people say they see these black helicopters, but you know what? They're usually just the DEA looking for fields of pot, or they're flying over some city with some kind of these are really police helicopters, and they got infrared detectors in them, so if you're growing weed in your basement, they're going to come down, they're going to bust your ass.
Well, hey, I was a non-believer too, okay? And then I read the book. Have you read the book?
Which book would that be?
That would be Black Helicopters Over America, Strike Force for the New World Order by Mr. Jim Keith.
That was written about, Dateline or something.
Yeah, well, Mr. Keith has it going on, all right? You know what I'm saying? And I just wanted to read you a couple clips from here, okay?
Please do.
There's a section on cow mutilations, mm-hmm. Okay? A lot of mysterious cow mutilations.
Cow mutilations are usually associated with extraterrestrial visitation.
Oh, no, my friend. That's a common misconception. But I'll give that one to you. It's the helicopters, buddy. Okay, you can forget about the little spacemen. We got real people in real machinery coming down here to take our freedom, my friend. Now, I'm going to read here, okay? One second. All right, in February 1976 in Wood County, Texas, Mrs. A.D. Cruz heard a loud helicopter circling her house. A mutilated cow was found on the property the following morning. Pretty mysterious. Now let's move on. Okay. On the 3rd of October, 1984, in Weston County, Wyoming, Raymond Spud Jones and some of his neighbors woke up hearing a, quote, high-pitched whine like a jet turbine starting. On October 6th, Jones found a mutilated carcass of one of his cows in a nearby pasture. Starting to freak out, is it? Huh? Well, I'm going to move on. You just wait for this one. This is the kicker right here, baby. One second here. Let me get to the page. Okay.
All right. Read us the letter from the Air Force guy as he retired that's in the beginning of the book.
Oh, you don't want to hear that. Just listen up.
That'll keep you up at night. Okay, go for it.
All right. In early autumn of 1989, relatively recently, mm-hmm. a hunter in the Red Mountain area near Norris, Montana, saw a black helicopter without identifying markings fly overhead and then swoop below a low hill. Blah, blah, blah. The hunter climbs up. He sees seven men who apparently came from the chopper and were wearing civilian clothes climbing the hill in the direction of him. The hunter waves at the group and shouted greetings. Now, here's where it really kicks in and it gets creepy, right? Then, as he saw the group more clearly, he was surprised to realize that the men were all Orientals. All right?
No.
You getting this? And speaking in a language he couldn't understand. You know what that means? It means it wasn't English, all right?
Does that mean that the international armies are coming to invade America?
It's and the UN, bring baby.
Dressed as businessmen?
Now, wait. You're cutting me off here.
Okay.
The Oriental men turned and headed back to the chopper, and when the hunter attempted to follow, they started to run. They reached the helicopter and took off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, As the hunter was walking back to his house, what did he find?
What
did he find?
Mutilated cow.
He found a mutilated cow, my friend.
Do I win something?
What?
I guessed. I got it right.
Hey, well, cut to the Queen City, Clifton, USA, right? 1997, right?
Okay.
Me, little Scotty B, I'm kicking it in my crib, right?
Right.
I'm chilling like a mega villain. I got Third Rock from the Sun on the box, right? I cracked open an ice-cold Zima. Now, you know, I love Third Rock because John Lithgow's like this alien guy. And he's like a fish out of water, right? He doesn't know how to work like regular kitchen stuff, and it's zany stuff. It's crazy. But anyway, I see my kitty cat scratching at the door, right? It wants out. We live across the street from a park, a nice little park where kids play. So I let the kitty out to go romp in the street. I sit down just in time to catch, you know, one last zany, kooky thing from John Lithgow. And then as my laughter subsides, I hear some strange noises in the park.
Right? Uh-huh.
I look out the window, and what do I see?
A mutilated cat.
No.
A fortune cookie.
You know what I saw?
An Asian guy flying a chopper.
I saw two AH-64 Apaches and four Black Cobra gunships. And you know what else?
What?
A cargo and troop transport Super Stallion, which is the free world's largest helicopter, my friend. And next to that, a mutilated cow.
In right? Clifton?
What?
In Clifton, there was a mutilated cow.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this is no joke.
Well,
right?
Your kitty's all right, isn't he?
We're going to get to that.
Uh-oh.
All right? Now, there's a bunch of guys standing around in fatigues, and they got machine guns and stuff, and they're just sort of milling around, right? And I see one of my neighbors run across the street to see what's going on. Crack! G.I. Jerk gives him a jaw adjustment, free of charge, right?
Right.
So I'm checking this out, right? This is driving me nuts. Now, I'm an observer by nature. I don't usually get into this stuff. But I see Little Muffin, my cat, Little Muffin.
You like to watch. Go ahead.
He's like crawling around the guys in the fatigues, right?
Right.
And crack, G.I. Jerkoff gives him a paw adjustment free of charge, right? So that sends me over the edge, man. I crack my Zima bottle. I throw some clothes on because I always watch Third Rock naked. And I run across the street, man, and I jam my thumb right into the guy's throat and I crush his windpipe, right?
Kind of like an Asiatic spike.
Exactly. And when he's on the ground, I stand over him and I say, "That's right, bitch." And then I run down there, I judo chop a few more guys, I crack some guys on the skull, and they're all taken off, right? I drove them away.
Any of these guys look Asian?
I didn't really notice. I was too busy, you know, crushing thoraxes and stuff.
Well, obviously they weren't Asian because you were too busy. You know, you got through them with your jujitsu there pretty
my
easily.
My Zima bottle tasted much blood, okay?
Okay.
Now, the folder, I found this folder laying on the ground, right? It's full of blueprints.
Right.
Now, you know what the blueprints were for?
No
mutilated time. Cows?
A quote-unquote detention center. Yes, a detention center to be built in this park right here in the heart of the Queen
City. Well, isn't detention center another word for concentration camp?
It could be. It could just be the nice way of saying, you know, concentration camp.
Yeah.
Well, Terry Andrus, you're from Tri-State Advocates for Scientific Knowledge, and we brought you in as a paid skeptic tonight. Aren't you a little skeptical of all these black Huey helicopters and UN conspiracy theories and New World Order kind of crap?
Yeah, pretty much so. I don't deny the fact that a lot of things in our society are manipulated by privileged classes, but on the other hand, I find it difficult that this entire long international thing can be so maintained so
covert. So small. It's the Pope,
Terry,
the Queen of England, yeah. And Colonel Sanders.
Go ahead.
Terry, you poor foolish fool. It's obvious that the bankers and the Wall Street big boys have formed an international secret organization whose goal it is to mutilate every cow in the United States. All right?
That's
so we got to put a stop to this, and that's why I'm starting my own militia.
Well, is it because, are they like vegetarians or something?
I have no idea. I don't know what their deal is, man, but they're gonna kill all the cows. They're going to not just kill them, they're going to mutilate.
So how many people you got in your militia, Scotty B?
Well, I'm just starting it. That's why I want to get it out on your program and see if I can get some members.
Well, wouldn't they probably make a better impact if they killed all the lawyers?
There you go. What about that?
I don't know what you're talking about, all right? But I just want to get my number out on the air here.
Okay, go ahead. What's your phone number?
Well, it's called Little Scotty B's Eagle of Justice Brigade, all right?
All right.
And actually, I don't want to get my number out on the air, so anybody who wants to join can call you and give them their number, or give you their number, I'm sorry, and I'll get it from you, and I will contact them.
749-1444 is the phone number of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
One more thing.
What's that?
You know, I call and give the movie reviews sometimes.
Yeah.
This is the same Scott?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
But, see, from here on, I don't want you to call me by my real name, since I'm doing this militia thing. I want you to call me Bobby Sheptel from here on. Or, what is it? Johnny Danger.
That's hey, Johnny Danger, I got a question for you.
I like Bobby Sheptel myself.
Now, at your militia meetings, are you required to bring a covered dish?
No, but all female members will be required to ride my bone.
Thanks for your call,
Wait, you want some movie reviews? One movie review.
Okay, go for it.
Just one. I rented this great movie. It was called Honey, I Blew the Kid. It was outstanding. It had Nicky Tyler in it and Peter North, man. You want to hear about the exciting climax?
Hey, you know how Peter North calls his ween?
What's that?
The North Pole.
Right on, man. Dude, at the end, he just went nuts. It was like a fire hose, man, and this chick was going nuts. She fell down on her back, and he jumped on her and started doing these awful things to her.
Well, thanks for your call, Scott, or Johnny Danger, or
wait,
Chef Bell, or whatever
on,
you want to call yourself.
There was one more called Oral Feast Plus Bonus.
It was a good year.
Well, what was it called?
Oral Feast
we'll
Plus Bonus.
We'll talk to you next week, and maybe we'll get some movie reviews.
And I think it had the hedgehog in it.
In the meantime, I want you to be watching out for those black helicopters, because you never know when they're going to swoop down and
like,
get
boom,
you.
Dude, like, pow. He was, like, going nuts on her, man. He was, like, freaking out. We're talking backdoor loving, man. It was nuts.
All right, okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Little Scotty B's Eagle of Justice.
If you'd like to join, give us a call, 749-1444. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show with Terry Endress from Tri-State Advocates for Scientific Knowledge, discussing the militias, the black helicopters, and the UFOs that have been seen over the skies of Arizona back in March, even though it's just now making the news.
Terry, how much of this dust do you think are government planes? They're not going to tell us what they have. If they tell us, then the Russians and the Nazis and the Iranians would know. So we don't know what kind of technology that the U.S. government has. Aren't most of these things just top secret stealth bombers?
Quite a few of them probably are. Some recent sightings we had in late March around here. Southeastern Ohio. When we investigated them, we found out that they were actually flare exercises that the Air National Guard had been conducting. And while those things look unusual at the time of being observed, there's nothing extraterrestrial about them, but it doesn't necessarily negate the fact that there are unusual things being sighted.
Hello, Ron, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Chris?
Not much, Ron. What's up with you? Have you seen any black helicopters in your backyard or maybe some crazy-looking lights in the sky?
Well, check that out. I wanted to agree with you for that point. But first, before I get to my main points, I wanted to thank Rob for the cassette he sent me, and that was really cool. It looked like Rob's handwriting. So thanks, Rob. It was cool how that guy made music in the back of that Rambler.
Oh, yeah, I sent you the Ben Vaughn. That was great.
Yeah, it was great. But anyway...
A few weeks ago, Ben Vaughn called on to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Ben Vaughn is the singer-songwriter who recorded his last album in the back seat of his car. Ron was a lucky winner and got a copy of the video.
Well, the whole thing is, you know, I know a lot of us call up WAIF and the Chris and Rob Show, and we act like a bunch of lunatics. It seems like you guys have changed since last summer. You know, we all play the game, but I want to get serious. Can I get serious here? That guy I just called, he sounded like, a lot like Bob, for one thing. But talk about over-paranoid. Bob's really over-paranoid. There's no proof, okay? And Chris, you are exactly right. Has anybody ever heard of training exercises and these guys look for pot growing in people? I mean, come on. These helicopters fly, I live in a rural area. They fly over, and you know exactly what they're looking for,
Chris. I'd say 75% of the mysterious helicopters you see are the DEA looking for drugs, and I'd say that the other 25% are probably just those AM radio traffic guys looking for traffic jams.
Well, you have to realize, too, that the deep olive green that are used on some military helicopters cannot clearly be mistaken for black against a bright sky.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well,
that's
see,
right.
The whole thing of it is that we know what they're doing. And how long ago did we find out? Rob mentioned a stealth bomber. We just found, this was only public until just a few years ago. There are things the military have. Our military, I mean, does anybody have anything to be paranoid about? I mean, the Soviet Union's, we don't have to worry about them anymore. So now we got to worry about, I mean, what the hell? We have things that people don't even realize. I'm sure that we've got lasers. I mean, hey, the stealth bomber was only one thing, Rob. Can you imagine what else they got?
They got lasers that can mutilate a cow, and they do it just for practice because they're practicing on the cows, because you can't very well just practice on the Iranians, who we should be practicing on. USA! USA! USA!
Well, did you know that back in the 60s when the Apollo mission went to the moon, those guys left up there a tiny little mirror. Not any much bigger than a pocket mirror that your wife or girlfriend might have in her purse.
Hey, and
we've got a laser down here on Earth that's aimed at that thing, and with that laser that's aimed at that mirror, we can exactly measure to an exact measurement of how far away the moon is and how fast it's moving away from us.
You know what else we can do with that?
What?
We can control the weather over Siberia and Moscow.
You're exactly right.
We'll get Ivan flooded out of there if he tries to bring his Ruski Borscht.
Hey, look, remember Reagan was trying to get the Star Wars thing in. And you think about our military, how are we going to train our warriors? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
These guys are trained here. I've heard Chris knows who I'm talking about, Mike McConnell. There's a helicopter base up in Indiana, not very far from here.
That's an Air National Guard base.
Right, and they fly over here and do training missions. What are they? Are we supposed to train our warriors in a video room? No, they gotta get out in the real air, fly across real terrain, hilly terrain, mountainous terrain, deserts, everything. They train here. So every time I see a black helicopter out flying over my house, you know what? I go out there and I get the damn binoculars, and I get a little. I take my T-shirt off and I wave up and say, "Right on, brother." I mean, this is bullcrap. And another thing, before I let you guys go,
did you offer them a beer too?
Man, I'd offer them anything they wanted, Chris. But I'm telling you what about the UFO thing. You know what's funny about this?
What?
I'll tell you, Rob, what's funny about it. All these years, we've never had any hardcore evidence. It's always these foggy little snapshots and these weird little videos.
Usually from a crazy redneck.
I mean, right. And it seems like that if these guys were really, really for real, we would have caught somebody or had some hardcore evidence. It's all this little stuff. Everything you see on hard copy and all these little things on A&E and stuff, it's all a bunch of hogwash because we would have hardcore evidence. These guys, hey, let me tell you, there ain't no way with this many people on Earth, there ain't somebody that really could see something and have some evidence. It's just like that lock, what's that thing called, the Yeti, the Bigfoot?
The Momo, the Missouri Monster, the Momo is twice as big as the Yeti and the Bigfoot put together.
Yeah, it's like in the Loch Ness Monster. Hey, it's fable. Everybody's looking out to the sky.
That Momo ain't a fable. That Momo's for real.
Hey, you know what? I just like going out, Chris, looking at that fire red moon tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, that's the kind of stuff. And the real warriors we had were the people that went up in the Apollo. You guys ever watch that movie, The Right Stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Oh, very intense. That was a good flick. And I'll tell you what, that Independence Day, that sucked. That was so overblown. That movie sucked.
I'm with you on that. You know, Ron, when the UFOs come to Earth, you know what they probably say before they leave?
I don't know. They weren't here, so I don't know.
They probably say, "Hey, dudes, let's go space trucking."
And for another thing, if you're a Christian, what do you do then? I mean, did Jesus, like, hop from planet to planet? I mean, it's really just, it's ridiculous. But I thank you for taking your call, my call, Chris and Rob. And you guys rule. I wish you'd be on every night, man. I listen to you.